السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها، لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزق، صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، ہیو کوٹڈ پارٹ آف این آیت آف دا قرآن شریف ان وچ اللہ تبارک و تعالی ایڈریسز نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام ہو از رحمت للعالمین، خاتم النبیین، تاجدار مدینہ، احمد مصطفیٰ، محمد مصطفیٰ، جمیلوں میں اجمل، شریفوں میں اشرف، کاملوں میں اکمل، صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Imagine the address is to رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And what is the address? وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Order your family, command your family to make salah. And then immediately after that, وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You yourself stay steadfast on that salah. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever words He chooses and wherever He places it, they all have great meaning. There's great lessons. Different words could have been used. But immediately after the hukam of salah, and saying to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that you also must stay steadfast, Allah ta'ala says, we don't ask you for rizq and sustenance. Allah ta'ala says to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to order his family, make salah, he must stay steadfast. And then immediately after that, Allah ta'ala says that la nas'aluka rizqa, we don't ask you that you must now work hard and provide sustenance for us. That's what it means. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we are the ones who give you rizq. Now if we have to ponder over this ayat, there's great lessons in it. And the reason for mentioning it in today's bayan, that I was thinking of what to speak on, is that last week we were discussing the night of Mi'raj, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given certain special gifts on that night. Detailed talks of that you have heard. And every little child also knows that it was a gift of Mi'raj, this five-time salah. But unfortunately, if somebody has to speak on salah in our congregation, in our family, amongst our people, then we take it as something that is not really important to listen to. Because we say that this is something that is well known, everybody knows, must make five times salah. We must discuss important issues, relevant issues. Indeed, there are lots of relevant issues, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that this is the most relevant issue. He says, something that is most important to me is your salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he's passing away, his wasiyat, one of it is salah. Be careful, be careful. Have fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to your salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed so much of emphasis on this salah, that after the kalima, the first thing is salah. It is a pillar of Islam. And if this pillar is destroyed, if it is dropped, if it is neglected, then the whole of deen is neglected. Don't look at our salah, because our salah does not seem to bring us the desired results. So therefore we say salah is a thing that is not really of great worth and value. Because we are looking at our kind of salah, our kind of namaz that we are making. When we do not get the desired results, then we blame the salah itself, whereas we know that if there is a bug on a blanket, then you don't throw the blanket away, you throw the bug out. You don't throw the baby away, you throw the dirty water out. So there is some weakness that is in our salah. If you have to look at the salah of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in, the salah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, the salah of all the pious and righteous people throughout the ages, those salahs and those namazes, they brought some results. There was some great power that was in that salah. It was a means of drawing from the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise Allah ta'ala would not have mentioned, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Why should Allah ta'ala say, oh you believers, seek the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with patient perseverance and with salah. And then look at the number of incidents. Look at the books of Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. Look at the books of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. Look at all the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's so much in the literature that has been mentioned about this salah. Why did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam compare that person who does not make his salah to one who is a disbeliever? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the only dividing line between a believer and a disbeliever is his salah. Between kufr and iman, between the person's Islam and kufr, the dividing line is salah. That means if you want to know whether this person is a Muslim or not, then look at his salah. Does he make salah or not? After that we don't know what is in his heart and what he does or he doesn't do. But as far as salah is concerned, it is something that we can observe. So if a person is making salah, then until we do not find anything else in his life which is of kufr, we will say this person is a Muslim. That was the dividing line. There must have been some real good reason why amongst the imams, the mujtahid imams, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he clearly declares the person as outside the pale of Islam. And Imam or Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullah alayhi, he follows the mazhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. So he also says that if the person has neglected his salat, he is not making it, then this person must be treated as a murtad, as a renegade. His janazah salat must not be performed. He must not be given burial in a Muslim qabristan. Now if we had to say that, we would have said very narrow-minded, very narrow-minded. Now this is an Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. And who is stating it? Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullah alayh in his Unwiyatul Talibin. I mentioned this before also and I repeat that we must be very, very thankful that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created these differences of opinion. We say that differences of opinion should not exist in the society. But if those differences of opinion are based on Quran and Sunnah, then it is a rahmat for the believers. It's a rahmat, it's a mercy. If there had been no difference of opinion and everybody believed, or everybody translated and everybody took the meaning literally and said that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that's the dividing line, so therefore anyone who does not make salat, he is out of the pale of Islam, no janazah salat for him, don't give him any kind of burial in Muslim qabristan, then look at the difficulty that the ummah would have faced. How many people would have been buried without janazah salat? And not even in a Muslim qabristan. So there must have been such importance of this salat that they mentioned this and they took the literal meaning. So that difference of opinion that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and some others, they said that no, what it means is that this person has committed an act which is similar to that of a non-Muslim. So therefore, put him in the prison and make him make tawbah in the prison. If he starts his salat, then release him. If he doesn't start his salat, then leave him in prison to die there. That's what he also says. And the others say put him to death if he doesn't make tawbah. So therefore we should not take this to be something very light and insignificant as we are taking it at present. Take our walimas, take our nikahs, take our birthday parties and our engagement feasts and all other kinds of feasting and parties that we have. How much of negligence there is of this salah. And if somebody has to get up and say, I'm going to make salah, this is a very holy person. That person thinks he's a very holy person. That is getting up from this gathering now and going to make salah. So if our salah is not giving us the desired results, then we must look into our salah, that what is wrong with it. All the other ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala were given down on this earth. And for this salah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, right above the seven heavens in his presence. So we have to develop that kind of muhabbat for this salah and that kind of azmat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his presence, a person came and made salah. Quickly he made his ruku, sajda and all that and finished. He came back. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tu salli. Get back, repeat your salat because you haven't read salat. So he went back, he made namaz in the same way and came back again. Again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tu salli. Go back, make your namaz again and come back. He went again and read the same kind of namaz, the third time. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained in detail, this is how you should stand, this is how you should go in ruku, this is how you should go in sajda, this is how you should sit between the two sajdas. After ruku, this is how you should stand, relax. Not just like the crow that's just, or the hen that's just picking up some grains from the ground. Now that kind of salah is not going to help. In fact, those types of salats are thrown back at the person. That just as you have destroyed me, Allah Ta'ala must destroy you also. I mentioned before also that we all are talking about Muslims being crushed here and crushed there and crushed there. Everywhere we are being crushed. I repeat that we have to look at our problems, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. It is only rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatul lil alameen, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is protecting us and saving us. And also the charities that the Muslim Ummah gives Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of that his anger cools. Otherwise this crushing everywhere that we are talking about, if you have to look at the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body. And this is what I have mentioned before also, that we all know that there will be a person or there could be people who are deaf, dumb and blind, but we have no right to shoot them dead. They are alive. And if any person has to shoot a person who is deaf, dumb and blind and say, as it is, he was deaf, dumb and blind, what difference does it make if I shot him? Will any judge accept that? They'll say he was alive, he had life in him. Even though he may have been deaf and dumb and blind, but he's got life. But the person whose head is also already removed from his body, and now if somebody has to fire a number of bullets into that body, so he will be charged probably for some other kind of crime. The family of the person can take him to task, and there can be some other kind of charges against him, but they can't charge him for murder, because that person is already dead. The head is already out. So like that, in the large portion of the ummah, who can deny that? Can anybody deny that? We all have families, we have friends, we have our circles around us, we have our societies in which we live. Who doesn't know that? What percentage of people are neglecting their 5-time daily salah? And therefore I said, ponder over that ayah that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, la nas'aluka rizqa. We don't ask you for sustenance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is said, order your family to make salat. And yet they were making salat. It's not a question of his family was negligent. Those ayat are actually for us, that we know how much of negligence there is in our homes with regards to salat. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told must stay steadfast. Was there any doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to stay steadfast? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was looking forward to more and more salah in his life. On the night of Mi'raj, the 50 salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had no problem. He was accepting the 50 salat and coming back. It was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that told him that my ummat one salah they couldn't make. Where will your ummat make 50 salah? Now could anybody have, as a Muslim, rejected that order and hukam of Allah Ta'ala if it had been 50 salats a day? Could anybody as a Muslim have said that, no, it's very difficult. How can we make 50 salat for the day? So it was Allah Ta'ala's kindness. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, go back and have it reduced. So this was reduced by 5. From 50 it came to 5. Then he said, now go back, because even 5, my ummah couldn't make one properly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refused to go after that again, because he knew that now if he goes, there's been no salat left. Whereas he needed that salat, because it was a gift. It was a great ni'mat and a blessing. It was a way of drawing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures and rahmat and mercy. As one person said, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he should have gone back. He should have gone back because everything was reduced in fives. So if he went back and that five also was taken away, then finish. We didn't have to get up for Fajr Salat and make Isha Salat. So I always say that stupid did not know that in that five, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increased the sawab to 50. He said, you make that five, but I will give you the sawab of 50. Now that was again the blessing of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatul lil alameen. And we know that how many things Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created. And He has given it to us as blessings, which we do not appreciate. Now, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to place the burden of 50 on our shoulders, would we have been able to bear it? Therefore, that ayat again last week, which we were discussing, the last verses of Surah Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasul till the end, which was also given in the night of Mi'raj, and then it was revealed again afterwards in Madina Sharif, as Mufassirin have said. But there, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Don't place upon us a burden which we cannot bear. Look at the number of things Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. So there He said that you make this five-time namaz, now tell your ummah to make this five-time namaz and I will still give them the reward of that 50. Amongst all the things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us, there are so many things which are in fives, which are most important things for us. Take our senses. We have five senses. The sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch. Now all these senses, the five senses. Now if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to say that one namaz for each sense, then that five namaz would already be finished in those five senses. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, as if He is saying, that, oh my bandas, I love you. I'm not putting any burden upon you. I'm giving this salat to you so that you may be able to draw from my unlimited treasures. Therefore, it is not you that I am asking to provide risk and sustenance to me. I am the one that will give you sustenance. Generally, our salats in these days, when the days are short, are missed. Because of our business houses. It's very busy, very busy. But when the angel of death will come, then where will all that busyness go? Or if the person lands himself in a hospital and is strapped up there for a number of days, then what happens to that business? Or the person has to get some other injury or accident or suffering and he cannot make it to those business houses, then what? Then who provides the sustenance? Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even when the child is born and after that when the mother is breastfeeding that baby, at that time the gaze of the baby is up. Allah Ta'ala made it such that generally when the babies are fed, then their gaze is up. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides two streams of milk instead of one. To show that, oh you child, oh you baby, sooner or later you will grow up and you will get some intelligence and aqal, then at that time you mustn't think that you are the one that is earning your own livelihood. It is Allah Ta'ala who is providing it for you. He is the one who gave you that milk. He converted the blood in the mother's body to that of milk, pure milk, and gave it to you. So cannot He give you halal risk and sustenance? Why must you neglect your salat, thinking that if I'm going to close for that little while, then my business will suffer, business will suffer. In fact, your business will suffer because the barakat will then be taken away. No matter how much you have, but there'll be no barakat. It'll be plentiful like the waters that come flood time. That flood time, there's plenty of water, but what is in that flood waters? In that flood waters, there's dead animals, there's snakes, there's scorpions, and there's pigs and dogs, and urine and stool, all comes with the flood waters because they're sweeping from every side. If a person has to drink that water, they say he's going to get bilharzia and he's going to die. And in that one tumbler of fresh water, the person's thirst is quenched. So the five senses, Allah Ta'ala says, okay, you make five salat, leave that 50 now, you make five salat. And I will take it for granted that you have shown gratitude, and I will give the reward of 50 salat. Then again, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we know our requirements and our needs in this life of this world. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us shelter. Allah gives food, Allah gives drink, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives modes of transport. So now these five things, the food, the drink, in the same way the shelter, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the modes of transport. Now all these five things again, what it is, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, you make your five salat, and I will take it for granted that you have shown gratitude. Otherwise, imagine how much of shukr we would have to be making the whole day. Then in the same way, if you have to look at it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created the different gases, we say gases. One brother told me when I mentioned this one time, he said there's also five types of gases. Nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, and so many other things. Like that, there are so many things we can go on in fives. There's no time to go into detail. But if the person has to, for example, that if you have to take our life, we are either standing, we are sitting, we are lying down, we are awake, or we are sleeping. Our whole life goes in these five things. You say the person is awake. Now in that, while he's awake, he'll do a lot of things, but he's awake. The person is fast asleep. The person is lying down, is bending down, is standing. So now in these postures, generally our life goes. Then we walk and run and do everything, but these are the postures. So now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, make this five salat, I will take it for granted that you have shown gratitude. Now if we had to be told to show gratitude for each ni'mat and make one salat, how many salat we would have had to make? So therefore we should not take it lightly. This salat was given in the night of Mi'raj. I mentioned in the beginning that we are just following up on the Mi'raj night that went, and things were discussed on that night by different speakers. However, this is something that we neglect, or we take it for granted that it is salah. What really benefit did we get? We know five times salat, so rush to the masjid, make some salat and get back home. Now, that is not salah. In the masjid of Khurasan, a young person, a great, although he was young, but he was a very pious and sheikh of the time. So another sheikh of the time went to that masjid and said, what's happening here? He says, the halqa, what are they discussing? They're discussing salah. Are they discussing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats and bounties and must have hope in the mercy of Allah ta'ala? He said, mashallah. He said, now let's ask him something about salah. Now they could have asked him many other things. Now these two people who were also great mashayikh, they said, let's ask him about salah. They said, oh young person, what about salah? So it was Hazrat Hatim, rahmatullah alayh. So he replied, he said, you want to know about the ma'rifat of salat or you want to know the etiquette of salat? He says, what do you mean by that? He said, well, the etiquette of salat is simple. Everybody knows that what you must do, stand up when it is the command of Allah Ta'ala that you should now make your salat. Make your wuzu properly. Then make your niyat, bearing in mind the azmat and the greatness and the glory of Allah Ta'ala. After that, make your takbir, Allahu Akbar. Make your niyat with ikhlas and then takbir with the glory of Allah in your heart. And after that, make your qiraat properly, make your ruku properly, make your sajda properly. Make your tashahud with ikhlas and make your salam with the rahmat of Allah. So he gave him in a nutshell how to make salat. Then he said, now tell us what you mean by the ma'rifat of salat. So the ma'rifat of salat is when you make your salat at that time. He said, you think that you are standing on full sirat. That bridge which each and every person will have to cross over to enter into Jannah. Either he will cross over or fall into the fire of Jahannam. So he said, when I make my salat, then that is how you should make, that is how I make the salat. That I consider the Jannat to be on my right. I consider Jahannam, the fire of hell, to be on my left. And then I consider myself standing on the pul sirat, which is told to be finer than a hair and sharper than the edge of a sword. And what is meant by that, some have explained, that in the akhirat, whatever it is there. But just like how shariat in this world, to follow the shariat, it is finer than a hair and sharper than a sword. So he says, I consider myself standing on the pul sirat, not knowing whether I will fall into the fire or cross into Jannat and paradise. And thereafter I look at the mizan in front of me, that the scale is in front of me, where the deeds of the person are going to be weighed. That if the righteous deeds are in excess, then the scale of the righteous deeds will go down. So he says, I think of the scale in front of me. And I consider my Allah as watching me. First of all, I consider myself as seeing Allah Ta'ala in that salat. And if not, then at least Allah Ta'ala is watching me. So he said, oh young person, for how long are you reading this salat, this kind of salat where you see yourself standing in this manner, Jannat on the right and Jahannam on the left and standing on pul sirat and scale in front and Allah above you watching. How long are you reading this kind of salat? He said, from the past 25 years I'm reading like this. So these two people said, let us go back and repeat the namaz that we made for the last 50 years because we haven't even read one salah like this person has read. So when we are going to read that kind of salah, believe me, the kind of noor that comes into the heart, the kind of sukoon that comes into the heart, the kind of tajalliyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that comes into the heart. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. How many of us really consider it as miraj of the believers? May Allah ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make the salat in the most appropriate manner. Make an effort. Ramadan month is coming. From now, at least put the farz namaz, the wajib namaz, and the sunnat namaz right. Then inshallah, slowly you can increase the nafil, but try and get that noor of that salat. What kind of a salat is this that tu ja me aata hun, tu ja me aata hun. You go, I'm coming, you go, I'm coming. That's the kind of salat we have. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.